Random sampler. Do I really need to buy this? My husband and I have found that living within our means is possible, but it requires self-control and a practical attitude toward money. We've discovered three helpful questions to ask ourselves before spending money. 1. Do I really need to buy this? Before any purchase, no matter how large or small, consider the motive for buying it. Do I really need this new computer game? Does our infant son really need a Sunday suit? Ask yourself whether the item is a need or simply a want. 2. Is this purchase a spur-of-the-moment decision? Avoid sudden purchases, especially larger, more expensive items. Often, we allow a skilled salesperson or others to talk us into something we don't need or even want. When we went shopping for a computer printer, the salesperson encouraged us to buy a high-resolution color printer. But for our purposes, a black-and-white jet printer seemed more practical and cost-effective. We also remembered that the cost of replacing color ink cartridges is much higher than the cost of black ink cartridges. 3. Are there hidden or future costs that might result from a purchase? For instance, owning a vehicle leads to future costs. We live in Zurich, Switzerland, where the cost of gasoline, licenses, insurance, repairs, and parking is high. Sometimes owning a car is more burdensome than not having one. The Swiss public transportation system of buses, trams, and trains is enough for our needs. By questioning our daily purchases and pondering our financial decisions, we have been able to afford what we need and even some of the things we want. Though to a large degree, consistent employment and good health have allowed us to live within our means, I feel confident that our careful spending habits will help us to avoid financial catastrophe should things change in the future. By Margaret Patterson, Altstatten Ward, Zurich, Switzerland, Stake. Fun with family traditions. When I was young, my parents started a number of family traditions that my brothers and sisters and I now carry over into our own families. Some of our favorites include the following fun activities. New Year's Eve. Our New Year's Eve celebrations were family affairs. Each child invited a few friends to join our family party. To accommodate the crowd, we set up card tables in the living room, dining room, and family room. The evening began with a get-acquainted game. Then everyone found a place at a card table and played games. At midnight, we served a buffet dinner, sang Auld Lang Syne, and threw confetti. Birthdays. Birthdays were always special days. We were treated to breakfast in bed and then allowed to open our presents before getting up. We were not required to do any chores for the day, and Mother always asked us what we wanted for a special birthday dinner. My parents went to great lengths to be home for those special dinners. One night, my father even excused himself from a meeting with a business client, saying he could not be late for a special dinner. Later that evening, the client came to the house and was surprised to see linen, crystal, china, and fresh flowers on the table, and hamburgers on the plates. Dinner time. Our family tended to be very vocal, and dinner times were usually fun occasions. Sometimes we discussed current events, talked about church doctrine, or just laughed at funny things that had happened during the day. Just being together each evening brought us closer together. Spring cleanup day. Each year, our family gathered at 9 o'clock sharp on a Saturday morning to prepare the yard and garden for summer. By 5 that evening, Mother had meat cooking on the grill for an outdoor picnic, and the yard was ready for summertime activities. 4th of July. We usually began this summer holiday with a game of baseball in the park, then games with the children. Later, we went swimming and had a barbecue. Mother's homemade ice cream bars were always a special treat. The evening ended with a patriotic program and fireworks. Family fun times have now moved to a new generation, and many of these traditions continue to enrich our lives. It's by Marcia Sparhawk, Rexburg 15th Ward, Rexburg, Idaho, East Stake. Finding common ground for family home evening. Active members of the church know that family home evening is important. But what if you have a less active or non-member spouse? My less active husband is a strong advocate of family together time. However, he doesn't feel that we need to include prayers, hymns, or religious instruction. So we have found common ground. Sometimes we spend time together. Other times my husband accepts that I will have gospel discussions with just our daughter. At least once a week, often while we're doing dishes, we discuss New Era and Ensign articles, along with topics shared in Sunday meetings. When all three of us are together, we cover a variety of subjects. Often we visit the public library to obtain materials. Together, we have discussed topics such as proper etiquette and safety measures. For the latter discussion, we used books containing "What Would You Do If?" scenarios. We have also delved into history and read a lot of literature together. After reading a biography of Abraham Lincoln, we watched a Civil War documentary. We have also read books on character traits and discussed traits such as honesty, compassion, and friendship. Sometimes newspaper articles or survey results have prompted our discussions. We enjoy our family activities. They draw us closer together and have provided a strong, common foundation that upholds the standards and beliefs we already share. By Anne Woodbury Moore, Glenville Ward, Albany, New York Stake. End of Random Sampler.